Another picture of faith that's helped me a lot is the branch that is in a tree. That I'm saying, Jesus used the example of the vine because that is the most common thing there. Today we can use the example of apples or oranges or something like that. Let's say apples, the branch that is in an apple tree, it produces apples. The apples don't grow on the tree, they grow on the branch. But it grows on the branch not because of some ability in the branch, zero. The branch is in the tree, and the sap, that liquid from the tree, flows into the branch. That's what keeps the branch fresh. That's what produces the apples. And if you were to ask that branch if it could speak, how do you produce these wonderful apples? I don't know. I just stay in the tree and the sap keeps flowing. By some miracle, the apples come out. And that branch can never take, if it's an honest branch, it can never take credit for the apples. It can't boast over another branch, either of five apples hanging on my branch and only three on yours. That's a stupid branch, as if it produced those apples itself. And those are the stupid believers who compare themselves with other believers and think, I'm better than them. I'm more spiritual than them. I can do something better than them. People admire me more than them. These are the most stupid believers in the world. They have not understood faith. Faith is leaning helplessly upon the tree and say, I can do nothing. What if that branch has been in that tree for 50 years? You cut it off today, not one apple will come on that branch from now on. 50 years experience with God makes no difference. Today, I've been a believer 60 years now. But I'm as helpless today as that person who's converted today. He's a branch in Christ, I'm a branch in Christ. And to both of us, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. 60-year-old believer, you can't do anything without me. That newly converted believer, you can't do anything without me. That is faith. Lord, I'm helplessly dependent upon you. That is the basis of prayer. A lot of people don't know how to pray because they don't pray with faith. You can pray for all night and get nothing. Jesus always said, when you pray, believe, have faith. And many people have made, and the devil's made faith such an, you know, mysterious thing that many people try to understand. I hope you've understood a little bit of what faith really means. It means leaning helplessly upon God. I'll give you my testimony. Every time I come to preach, I say, Lord, I'm like the branch in the tree. Many times I don't know what to say. But that's not the problem of the branch. The branch doesn't have to produce one apple. The branch has only got to stay in the tree. The tree will produce the apples through the branch. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Without him, I can do nothing. Faith is to say, I can do nothing without Christ. And I don't know whether all of you believe that. Because you feel that there are a lot of things you can do because you've got so much experience. You know so much of the Bible. You come to RLCF where you hear so many wonderful truths. You know more than other Christians. So of course you can do so many things. No wonder your life remains shallow. I want to encourage you, my brother. Come down, come down. God's greatest blessings are on the lowest shelf. Remember that. God's greatest blessings are on the lowest shelf. You're seeking for them up there. Those are all empty. Come down. Recognize that you're a nobody. And you're a nothing. If people were to ask me, brother, what is your position in the body of Christ? Are you a teacher, evangelist, apostle, prophet? I say no. I'm a voice. That's what John the Baptist said. He was the greatest prophet. They asked him, what are you? He said, I'm a voice. I'm a voice calling people to repent. Turn back to God. Get ready for the Lord's coming. I'm doing the same thing. Just a voice saying, get ready for the Lord's coming. He's coming back again. Be ready. Get rid of sin. That's all we are. And God may give one gift to one and another gift to another. I believe that if you're a member of Christ's body, He has given some gift to you which I cannot do. I look at some things that some of you do here and I say, I can't do that. You have a gift I don't have. And I have a gift that you don't have, but we are members of one body. So your gift is really, I'm happy about it because we're in the same body. I mean, no part of the body is jealous of another part. No member is jealous of another member of the body. I say, we're all one body. There'll be no jealousy when you see that you're a part of the body with others. And all of us are helplessly dependent on the head. And the head makes the picture of the head of the body or the branch in the tree is the same thing. This hand can do nothing without being connected to the head. You know, when you say a man's hand is paralyzed, what is paralysis? The hand is still there. The five fingers are there and all, if you look inside the body, I'm not a medical person, but in a paralyzed man's body, the nerves and the limbs and the vein and the arteries and the skin, they're all there. But the hand can do nothing. There's only one thing missing. Its connection with the head is broken. That's all. And there are believers like that. They look like members of the body, but their connection with Christ is broken, and so they are useless. They hang around in the body. They come to the meeting. They do absolutely nothing for the Lord. They sit in the chair on Sundays and warm the chair. That's the only thing they do. Nothing. And the other members of the body have to carry them. You know, like this paralyzed hand. All the other members of the body have to carry this paralyzed hand for nourishment. Oh, the hand, this paralyzed hand is very eager to get the nourishment from the body. All the food that's eaten must go to the hand also. There are believers like that. They only think of receiving. A paralyzed hand keeps on receiving nourishment. If it didn't, it would die. It receives nourishment, but what does it do for the body? Zero. We're not to be believers like that. Would you like to have a paralyzed hand in your body? You think the Lord wants a paralyzed hand in His body? Or a paralyzed leg? Dear brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you. Will you say from today onwards, I want to have faith that weak as I am, I can do something for you. I always use the example of the nail. The nail is such a small thing. But do you know when you feel scratchy? It's only this little despised nail that helps, that relieves you of that itching feeling. It's not your nose or your eyes or your tongue. You need that. You can be the smallest member in the body of Christ, but you're useful. You can scratch somebody's back. You can say a word of encouragement to someone. How difficult is it to say a word of encouragement to someone? To say to somebody when you speak on the cell phone, don't worry, brother. Don't worry, sister. God will help you. God will see you through that. How long does it take to say that? That can lift that person's spirit. We criticize people enough. Why not once in a while say a word of encouragement to your wife, to your husband, weary under life's burdens, struggling with children or struggling in their place of work, to say, don't worry, my husband, you'll be okay. It'll be okay. God will see us through. But don't worry. The child is sick, but God will see us through. Don't worry. It can be such an encouragement, and it takes a few seconds to say it. And a person who's connected to the head will say it. It's not a great sermon, but it is a great sermon to that discouraged person. I want to encourage you to have faith. Lean upon God and say, Lord, I'm a helpless person. But I want to lean upon you. I can't do the great things that those some of these great preachers do and great servants of God who bring hundreds of people to Christ. I can't do all that. But I can give one sentence of encouragement to my husband, to my wife, to that brother who I see a little discouraged, to my children, to lift their spirit. I want to be someone who goes around lifting people's spirits. The world is full of people depressing them. Let me not add to that. Let me not add to the gloomy faces in the world. But let me lift up people's spirits. There's a story I've mentioned often which I never forget. I never get tired of repeating. Like the man who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco and committed suicide. It's a true story. And the police and others went and picked up the body, and they found a note in his pocket. And they went to his room. From there they found where he lived. He lived in a single one-room apartment, and he had left a note on his table. "I'm going to commit suicide today at the Golden Gate Bridge. But on my way there, the long walk I have, many miles that I'll be walking, if one person smiles at me and looks at me cheerfully, I will not commit suicide." And he walked that long distance with so many people crossing him on those busy roads. And nobody cared even to look at him. Now, I'm not saying you should go around smiling at everybody you see on the road. Don't misunderstand me. They'll think you're mad or something. But I'm talking about being cheerful towards people you know. To the people we know, to lift their spirit. It's so easy to do, and it costs us nothing. It doesn't cost us 1 cent. Faith is leaning upon God, and with Christ I can do everything. I want to encourage you.